Morning, everybody. So, welcome to our service of Holy Communion. It's good to see so many of you here, those of you back from holiday. Today is the 13th Sunday after Trinity. A couple of notices. First one is, this is not in order of importance, the new parish newsletter is out. All of those who deliver, for which we are extraordinarily grateful. They're in the sanctuary, ready to be picked up. We'll have a supply at the back of the church as well for casual people who come in and want to take them.
We're going to bring the ones that aren't collected today, we're going to put at the back of the church. They're not spare copies at the back.
Thank you. So two more notices, just to remind you that at Holy Trinity this afternoon at 3 o'clock, there is the pet service. I really have no idea whether you actually need a pet in order to go, but having seen the poster, I don't know if you've seen the poster, it shows an elephant, a giraffe, a rhinoceros, and a tiger. But I think actually what we're expecting are hedgehogs, tortoises, and dogs and cats. But anyway, so that's at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then just to talk about the Heritage Weekend at Holy Trinity, which is the 7th and 8th of September. They really do need some helpers to just give perhaps an hour of time if they could, preferably on the Saturday. If you can help, there's a sign-up sheet in the porch and there's another one in the sanctuary. That would be really good. One more thing. We have banns of marriage. So I publish the banns of marriage between Ian Roger Reakey, divorced of the parish of Staplehurst in Kent, and Catherine Georgina McAndrew, also divorced but of this parish. This is for the first time of asking, and if any of you know any reason why they may not be joined in holy matrimony, you are to declare it now. So let's stand and sing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 303, Jesus, Stand Among Us.
Stand among us at the meeting.
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We sit on you for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And the Collect prayer for today, the 13th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you, through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you would like to sit, Leslie and Alison will read to us from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 1. Then King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion, the city of David. The priests then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven, and said, "Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me faithfully as you have done. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open towards this temple, night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people, Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 976, Overwhelmed by Love. We'll sing this through twice. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the sixth chapter of John's gospel. We begin at verse 56. Jesus said this: "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Pray that I may speak only in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. So both our Old and New Testament readings this morning mention prayer, the power of prayer, the need for prayer, and the benefit of prayer. And this gives me the perfect excuse to share with you a really old clergy joke on the very subject. There was a very learned and respected bishop and a taxi driver who both depart this life at the same time, and they arrive together at the gates of heaven. The angel at the gate immediately signals to the taxi driver to make his way in through the gates. But as the bishop moves forward, the angel sadly shakes his head and turns him away. "What's this?" exclaims the bishop. "Do you know who I am? I'm a respected and learned bishop of many years standing, and he is nothing more than a lowly taxi driver who, not to put too fine a point on it, drove like an absolute lunatic." "Exactly so," said the angel. "When you spoke, people slept. But when they got into his taxi, believe me, they prayed." I trust you all not to repeat that to the bishop next time he visits St. Margaret's. So for today, I just thought that it might be worthwhile thinking about what to pray, when to pray, and maybe where to pray. So let's start with that Old Testament reading from the first book of Kings. We start with the building of the temple and its dedication. And as we enter the story, the work on the temple is finally complete. And Solomon assembles all the elders and the leaders of the tribes of Israel to witness the triumphant dedication ceremony. And the central act of all of this is the bringing up of the Ark of the Covenant and its placing in the temple. So for the Israelites back then, the Ark of the Covenant, in reality, nothing more than an acacia wood box containing the stones on which were engraved the Ten Commandments, was sacred and symbolic of the presence of God. We know this because we heard this morning in verses 6 and 11 that a cloud filled the temple, and the priests simply couldn't minister because the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. Bit like the cloud that led the Israelites across the wilderness in their exodus from Egypt. So standing before his people, Solomon declares that he has fulfilled the plans of God and of his father David. And kneeling before the altar, he prays. He asks that the new building may always be a focal point of God's care. He asks that it may be a place of justice. He asks that it may be a place of mercy. And he asks that it may be a place of new beginnings for his people. And Solomon also includes a remarkable plea. revolutionary in terms of Jewish thought at that time. A plea that foreigners may now come to this place and receive healing and help. Of course, this is something that we now take for granted, but this was progressively being revealed to the Hebrews, and that is that God cannot be contained in a building. We heard Solomon say, "Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built." And this has implications for the way we ourselves pray, and hopefully we'll get to that a bit later on. So it's to this all-encompassing God that Solomon prays. As he prays, he hallows God with his praise. He asks for God's will to be done. He brings before God the people's needs, and he asks God for forgiveness. Now, perhaps if, like me, you thought all this sounded very much like what we now call the Lord's Prayer, I think you'd probably be right. The prayer that Jesus taught us as the model for all prayer. So what do we find familiar, and maybe unfamiliar, in this prayer of Solomon? Is this really a good model for how we could or should pray? And what do we make of the place of the temple in all this? As Solomon repeatedly says, the prayers of the people will be towards this place. The temple, understood then as literally the place of God's dwelling on earth, is no longer how we see our consecrated buildings, our churches. Yet there are perhaps some physical places where we find it easier to pray, where God seems more accessible, possibly more attentive. And are there places perhaps where our praying is ever emboldened, encouraged maybe, or alternatively even sapped and made more difficult because of the place in which it is that we are praying? And if so, what do you think might be the reason for that? Back to our bishop and the taxi driver then. So what is it that makes prayer so important? Well, first of all, prayer changes the world because it first changes us. It opens our eyes to the sheer wonder of existence and the world around us. And I believe that there's something in the human spirit that, however knowledgeably, however clever we are, however intricately, if you like, we understand the laws of physics, nature, science, we still want to celebrate creation and a creator God. Not just to understand, but to celebrate and sing. Prayer teaches us to give thanks. It teaches us to rejoice in what we have rather than be forever driven by what we don't yet have. And daily prayer works on us in ways that are not immediately obvious. So I think prayer works a bit like the smoothing action of the sea and the constant tides, that the action that that has on a pebble on a beach. Or you could say that it's a bit like the repeated hammer blows of the sculptor shaping his block of marble. So prayer, repeated, cyclical, tracking the rhythms of time, gradually wears away the rough and jagged edges of our character, eventually aligning us with God and all he wants and desires for us. But having said all of that, prayer is not magic. It doesn't bend the world to our will. If anything, it does the complete opposite. It helps us notice the things we otherwise take for granted. It compensates for our loneliness. It gives us a language of hope and a vocabulary for principles, ethics, if you like. And then as we begin to see things differently, we begin to act differently. The late Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks put it perfectly when he said, "The world we build tomorrow is born in the prayers we say today." Now, a little earlier, we touched on the thought that prayer can be awkward, difficult even. And I'd agree. At least I would agree that it can be extremely difficult sometimes. And I can still remember, many years ago, being in a parish prayer meeting, sat next to someone who prayed this most amazingly eloquent, beautifully constructed, theologically perfect prayer. And I thought to myself, there's absolutely nothing left for me to say. That was daunting back then. Nowadays, I might simply say, yep, agree with all of that, and add my own amen. Prayer is not a competition. And when I was at theological college, I was taken under the wing of a gentle, beautifully kind and wise nun who went by the name of Sister Mary Stephen. And we were walking out of the chapel one evening, and she grabbed me by the elbow, pulled me to one side and said to me, "You're trying too hard, dear. Pray as you can, not as you can't." Stuck with me for a long time. Anyway, we ended up in the college bar. She was the sort of nun who was more than happy to spend Saturday night in the bar with the students, so long as she didn't have to get her purse out. But she gave me some amazingly valuable advice. She said there are three things that don't matter for prayer and two things that really do matter. And as I remember, what she said doesn't matter. One was quantity. You don't have to say a lot. She said, prayer is about life, all of it. You just don't have to talk about it all at once. And she talked about quality. You don't have to speak well. It's a conversation, she said, not an exam. And then there was knowledge. Not required, she thought. Prayer is for amateurs, and we remain amateurs all our lives. So what then were the two things that she really thought did matter? Well, the first was, be natural. In the book of Exodus, it says that Moses talked with God as with a friend. And finally, be honest. The book in the Bible we call Psalms is full of the passionate cries of honest people venting their feelings before God. Whatever it is that you've got to say, trust me, God can cope with it. The only other thing I would add is that if you are finding it really difficult, then maybe don't bother with words at all. Just sit in silence before God, and you may just find that the words eventually do just come. When I pray with the old folk at Berry Lodge Care Home, we always start with a really simple prayer. It's called the Jesus Prayer. It is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If you just sit and say that over and over again, I guarantee you God will be listening. I think the key things from all of this when we're talking about prayer is this. Where doesn't matter. When doesn't matter. But you need to make the first move and then persevere. Amen. As we sit, Jean will lead us in our intercessions.
Let us put our hands together and pray to our loving God. Father, you call us into closeness with you, and yet we are strangely awkward about prayer. Help us to overcome our fear, reluctance, and guilt, and give us the desire simply to spend time with you, relaxing in your presence, orientating our lives towards you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, make us a praying church, one that not only prays and values prayer, but also teaches about prayer, not judging each other's spiritual maturity, but simply acknowledging that we are all beginners in prayer, a body of seekers exploring spirituality together. And remind us how many outside formal church life either do pray or want to pray. Make us helpful to anyone with whom we might share the journey. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, as children begin to return to school, with many starting school for the first time, we pray for our schools that they may light fire in our children that never goes out. We pray for our head teachers, class teachers, support staff, governors and parents, and all who are committed to excellence in education. Keep their standards high and hopeful, and their commitment at full stretch. And keep the well-being of the children themselves front and centre in all they do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Lord, as we listen or read the news each day, we are often shocked and saddened by what we hear, especially when lives are lost in conflict such as Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, Israel, Sudan, and West Africa, for which we long for peace. And in disasters such as the Bayesian ship being lost this week in a sudden water spout off the coast of Italy with 6 lives lost. We are also inspired and encouraged when we have more positive news, such as a universal vaccine now developed for COVID-19 and a test to detect Parkinson's. Lord, inspire us to pray for those involved in stories, those affected by the events, and all who announce and receive the news. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we pray for all those who are sick in body or mind or both. We ask you, God, to heal them and grant strength to endure their suffering. May you also give them peace and comfort as they awake your healing touch. We especially pray for Gail Wellings, recovering still in hospital after her fall. Jeanne Scholl, now at home, recovering after her fall and now with having carers. And Rhoda McDowell eventually has had her hip operation this last week. Please grant them strength and courage as they face this difficult time, and may they find comfort in your loving presence. We also lift up to you Peter Nelson on the recent loss of his dear wife, Eve. Surround him with your peace. Help him to feel your presence and find solace in your word. Be his source of strength and guide. Guide him through his paths of grief. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And lastly, a Celtic prayer from my owner. O Christ, you are the bright flame before us. You are a guiding star above us. You are the light and love we see in others' eyes. Keep us, O Christ, in a love that is tender. Keep us, O Christ, in a love that is true. Keep us, O Christ, in a love that is strong, today, tomorrow, and always. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The face of God shines brightly on us, that we might be saved. The love of God revives us, that we might call upon God's name. Seek out the shining face of God in one another as we share the peace of Christ. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you. We share that peace amongst each other. Peace be with you. As we're standing, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn 1229, Father, Hear the Prayer We Offer. 1229. This morning we will use Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 7. Eucharistic Prayer 2. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us, as we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. At the top of page 18, we continue our worship by saying together the prayer after communion. And we say, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Time for our final hymn. So if you'd like to stand or sing hymn number 62, Christ Triumphant. So we go to our homes with this blessing. As we go from here, may God go with us in the days ahead, keeping us close, keeping us connected, keeping us a community of faith, deepening our trust, encouraging our hope, amplifying our love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and those for whom you pray, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.